Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. War Room Live, second hour is on. I want to go to a crazy video here. It's out of the UK. You'll hear the woman tell the story. So I guess I don't even have to really set it up. But yeah, the rot in the UK police force is as real and as ubiquitous and as damaging as you could possibly imagine. A woman from the UK who was abused and I believe falsely arrested by the UK police had her camera confiscated, only the police didn't realize the camera was recording. And so they accidentally returned to her hours of surveillance footage inside the police station of police having private conversations about all sort of nefarious activity. This is absolutely incredible. This was posted by Restore Britain. Here it is.
In January 2023, I attended a peaceful protest where I was attacked and unlawfully arrested by demented police sergeant David Allam. He seized the body-worn camera I was wearing and PC JJ Weatherstone put it in his pocket. But they made a fatal mistake. They failed to switch the camera off. They then returned to Bethel Street Police Station, bugging themselves and their colleagues for hours. When I was acquitted of the false and malicious charges, the camera was returned to me. As I skimmed through the footage, the first thing I heard was PC Weatherstone on the toilet. I found it hilarious, but thought that would be the extent of it. But as I continued listening, I realised just how badly they'd screwed up. I was in possession of something extraordinary. Hours of candid police conversations. A fly-on-the-wall recording from inside Bethel Street Police Station, revealing what officers say and do when they think no one's listening. The camera captured damning discussions about fitting me up with false charges, highly abusive comments about me and another protester, Lucia, a slew of racist, misogynistic, and transphobic remarks, the glorification of violence, and PC Amy Bickle admitting that she illegally stops searches and arrests IC3 females. Her words, not mine. It also captured the following conversation in which male officers discussed their experiences at a local brothel, with one officer, believed to be PC Sam Barton, admitting to paying for sexual services, which police officers are strictly forbidden from doing.
I'll go there. What if I find a bit strange? It appears that each room has like a card reader in it. Where's it? The bird street Chinese.
Oh, you got it.
I'm in
the
room. Well, bit.
You can see.
Sorry, it's back up, Carl.
The trolley had nappies on. Did you see their nappies?
And their headlights.
No, it didn't.
It did.
The trolley had nappies.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Baby oil. Maybe they came to
lady underwear.
Yeah.
Did you notice the shackles on these?
No.
They were shackles.
He gets secreted underneath.
There you go.
What?
They look the sort of like me.
Then you'd know, obviously.
Remember the
Jack O'Brien?
That lady that was given to Sam.
Honestly, though, I'm going back outside of work hours.
It says, if you think that's bad, believe me, the whole video is worse. Yeah, the UK's got a pretty big problem. Actually, it's got a whole bunch of very big problems that we'll cover in the next hour and continuing into the third hour of War Room Live, including the fact that the chat control measure has passed, meaning that the EU has now granted itself access to your cell phone chats that you might send before you even send them every image, every document, every exchange between you and everybody else now has to be approved of by our democracy at the EU. And you won't believe how they got it passed. The shenanigans abound, folks. But they're putting the control grid in place. You got to defeat it before they flip it on. We'll be back on the other side, break it down more. Stay with us, folks.
Do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing someone else will save the galaxy. It pleases me greatly.
Real time, uncensored, unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Nothing can stop me. The force lies within.
There is no escape from what you are becoming. Lay down your weapon or be destroyed.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I got so many crazy stories to cover. Genuinely, I don't even know where to start. But maybe we'll stick with what's happening in Europe and the UK, because I just happened to see this right before coming back from commercial break. A letter from Crompton Primary School in the UK warning that Muslims are threatening to stab little children. What? Staying safe. Please be aware we've been notified of an incident, details of which are as follows. Date, Friday, the 3rd of July, 2026. Time of incident, 3:20. Place, Princess Road. Description of incident. A member of the public has reported that a male following a pupil down Princess Road holding a Stanley knife with the blade visible and a sharp metal object. He was described as follows. Male, Asian, black beard, in cultural dress. Police have been informed, and we would ask parents to be extra vigilant. You got to do it in Comic Sans, of course. Of course. I mean, you want the warning that your children are being followed around by foreign knifemen to look jaunty, don't you? So, what? I'm just trying to put myself in the mindset of a parent that sends your kid to school and gets an alert from school that's like, by the way, some Pakistani dude in a dress is following your children with a knife. So be extra vigilant. Okay. So, like, it really is going to be like the weather report now. Like, chance of being stabbed, 30%. Stay inside. If you're going to go outside today, you're going to want to have a stab vest. Okay, yeah, I guess it's good. It's good you get a warning. It's good to hear that there was a warning before the stabbing, but yeah, that's just insane. That's just absolutely unbelievable. A member of the public has reported that a male followed a pupil down Princess Road holding a Stanley knife with the blade visible and a sharp metal object. So he had two different things. He was Asian, by which they mean Muslim, black beard with cultural dress. Yeah, where was Sneeko? Did he get permission from Sneeko to do that? Yeah, I don't even have anything to add. It's just like absolutely horrifying. Crazy. Just crazy. But that's not the only just completely insane thing that the Europeans are being subjected to today. New EU safety tech is mandatory in every new car starting from today, including infrared constantly on cameras pointed at your face the entire time. If you buy a brand new car in Europe starting today, it comes with it some extra kit whether you asked for it or not. From the 7th of July, a new wave of EU safety features is mandatory on all newly registered cars and vans. And while the goal is fewer deaths on the road, some of it does not entirely sit comfortably with us. Under the EU's general safety regulation, every new passenger car and van registered from the 7th of July must now include a fresh batch of features. These are advanced emergency braking, able to detect cyclists and pedestrians, an advanced driver distraction warning system, improved forward visibility for the driver, new testing requirements for worn tires, and expanded areas of safety glass to better protect pedestrians in a collision. On paper, most of that is sensible, hard to argue with safety kit. But then there's the camera that watches you. The one that raises eyebrows is the driver distraction system. It uses infrared cameras pointed at the driver to analyze behavior, track eye movement, blinking, where you're looking, and even yawning to spot when your attention drifts. The intent, catching drowsy or distracted drivers, is genuinely worthwhile. Okay. And distraction plays a role in a meaningful share of fatal crashes, but an always-on camera studying your face is exactly the kind of thing that makes people uneasy, especially given the technology could in future be tied to alcohol detection and ignition interlocks. Oh, and the digital ID and the social credit score. It could be used for all sorts of things. This, like so many other things that the EU is doing, could not be more obvious that they are choosing wherever they can get access to impose this stuff. There's absolutely no reason why driving a car, you have less protections than being at home. They just don't really have an excuse. They can't really make a reasonable argument right now to put a literal Orwell-style telescreen always-on government monitoring camera inside your living room yet. But the car, they go, well, you know, it's preventing crash. What if we say it's preventing crashes? If they just have the bare minimum ability to access, like ability to regulate, they can regulate cars for safety features, so that's what they'll use to try to impose this censorship. But it's coming everywhere, and this is the incrementalism that is the boiling frog in a pot of boiling water. Now, this is already implemented, so this isn't like, here's what they want to do, and everybody's going, what the hell? This is crazy. No, it's been mandated now from yesterday, actually. Until forever, every new car is going to have an always-on facial recognition, digital ID, face-scanning camera in every car. Because they have the ability to regulate what are put in cars, and so they force you to get a camera. They'll be doing this in your home in no time, and it's exactly the same case with chat quote-unquote chat control. Which, for once, I got to say, is an appropriate label. You know, they didn't bother to Orwell this one up. They didn't call it, like, you know, the children's safety measure. No, they call it chat control, which is exactly what it is. Now, again, just like there's no fundamental, in my opinion, no fundamental difference between a car, a camera inside your car, or a camera inside your house, or, you know, following you around constantly, spying on you everywhere you go. There's not an actual tangible metaphysical difference between chatting with somebody in person in your living room or texting them on the phone. There's absolutely no reason why, because you're using a tool to communicate, now the government gets to dictate what you're allowed to share on that tool. The fundamental reality about free speech is that it should exist everywhere. And that just because you're using technology to express yourself rather than vibrating the air between friends, they use that as an intervention point. But it's just because they can. It's because it's easier to surveil that than it is to surveil you in your home. But there's no fundamental difference in reality. If you think about what's actually being done here, this is literally chat control. They literally want to dictate what you're allowed to talk about with your friends, with your family, with your coworkers. It's up to them. You don't get to just say what you think to your friends and neighbors. It has to be approved of by the EU first. First, it has to comport with the dictates of your hostile corporate monstrosity government. And only then will you get to express yourself to your friends. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? There's no fundamental difference. You do not give up your right of privacy just because you have to use a car to get around. It's not exactly a choice. Maybe a little easier in Europe, but like our societies are built for cars. You have to use a car, so they're taking something that you have to use, that you have to interact with. They have no right to say, because you have a car, therefore we get to spy on you all the time. But that is what they're doing. And once you get used to this, they'll do it outside your car as well. Of course, the flock cameras going up are another aspect of this, because it's not just happening in Europe. All of these things are happening in America as well. The exact same bill for the exact same facial reading, front-facing camera in every single car is also being put forward in America, and it'll come to fruition in a couple years if we don't do something to stop it. Now, the way this happened was, of course, a complete and utter betrayal of the concept of democracy, but that's never stopped our democracy before. Showdown in Strasbourg, the unexpected return of chat control 1.0. I like how they call it 1.0. Just so you know, there are going to be newer versions of this coming down the pipe. The European Parliament cleared the way for a renewed extension of the so-called chat control on Tuesday afternoon. With a narrow majority, 330 to 304 votes and 11 abstentions, the MEPs voted for an urgency motion that Parliament President Roberto Metsola had put on the agenda at short notice at the behest of the member states in the EPP group. This allows Parliament to vote again on the controversial plan on Thursday, the last session before summer break. The aim of the maneuver was to reinstate the transnational regulation for chat control, which expired in April. This exception regulation allowed tech giants like Meta, Google, or Microsoft to voluntarily search private chats, emails, and messenger services for material related to child sexual abuse without specific suspicion. Parliament had not agreed to a renewed extension, and that regulation therefore expired in April. The vote was preceded by a back and forth, with opponents calling it an unprecedented parliamentary maneuver. Pirate MEP Marketa Gregorova accused the Conservative European People's Party, EPP, of engaging in a farce and violating its own rules of procedure. She appealed in vain to her colleagues to vote against chat control again. Metsola narrowly defended the procedure, stating she was adhering to all rules. So, just to sum up for you what happened. And again, like, you cannot overstate how obvious and how often this strategy is. Like, how obvious the strategy is and how often it's employed. Time and time again, whether it's something like Brexit. Brexit's a little different because they let the people vote, the vote succeeded, and then they just ignored it entirely and punished the people by doing everything that was the opposite of what they voted for. Just an almost a blatant, like, you think we're a democracy, I'm going to spit in your face and do exactly what you told us you don't want to do. How's our democracy feel for you now? Like, almost an offensively blatant reversal of the principles of democracy. But then you have things like, you know, Ireland voting against mass immigration and they ignore it. And so they hold another vote and again, mass immigration loses. Then they have another vote. It loses. They have another vote. It loses. They have another vote. It wins. That's the one that they stick with. Okay, everybody voted. We want more illegal immigration. We're going to go with this vote. Literally, time and time again, if they don't like the answer they're given from the voting, they just ignore the results and just do it again until you get the answer that they wanted. So this is how it worked when it came to chat control. First, they had five different votes on it. All of them failed. So they had another vote. They invoked a technicality to require a majority to vote against rather than requiring a majority to vote for. They did this while everyone is on vacation, so not enough numbers to vote against. Demonic creatures. So do you understand? It's supposed to have majority support to be put into action, meaning you have to get more than half of the parliament to agree on what you're doing. Somehow, and this is the interminable issue with our democracy, with bureaucracies around the world, they just change the rules to completely invert it, to cheat, to get this across. So typically, you put forward a bill, and you have to have half the people approve it. Now they say, we're putting forward this bill, it automatically is approved unless you can get a majority to vote against it, which is an entirely different question, an entirely different ask, an entirely different process. So what is ostensibly the democratic representatives of a parliament in Congress, you know, writing bills and establishing a collective will to do something, has now become straight up an authoritarian from on high dictate that you only have veto power if you can muster half the people to want to veto the tyrannical measure that is being pushed from on high. Total inversion, total and complete inversion. These parliamentary games they play that allow them to do things that are just obviously undemocratic. And yet they want us to go to nuclear war with Russia to preserve this democracy, this quote unquote democracy. So yeah, chat control is as bad as it sounds. And I'll just say once again, they have this little workaround where they, because you're on a phone, they get to control what you say. Because you're using a messaging app, they get to dictate what is and is not reality to you. You do not abandon your rights just because you have to use technology to communicate. You don't abandon your right of privacy just because you have to use a car to get around. They're taking these necessities in the modern world and weaponizing them to destroy your rights. And it could not be more obvious. And it's extremely dangerous when in combination with the flock systems and the AI data centers that they're building and the censorship and surveillance that are coming down the pipe in Europe and Australia and New Zealand and America and Canada, in every white majority country, all of these things are being implemented at exactly the same time in coordination with each other in complete and total rejection of the will of the people. This is a on high demand, not from the people, but from the people who want to destroy the people of Europe and America. And I don't understand why we're letting them do it. I don't get how just absolutely everything can be this blatant. Absolutely everything can be this ridiculous. Doesn't matter if you're talking about the war, censorship, immigration. Why is literally everything inverted? Literally everything is impossible to like get your mind around how all of this stuff is all happening all at exactly the same time with absolutely no justification to any of it at all. It's crazy. But it goes on and they're just doing it. I mean, again, you can look at the Iran war. You can look at the Ukraine war. Any of these, it's like nobody wants this. Nobody asked for this. They're violating everything they claim to believe, and yet it never ends. They never stop. Here's the latest from Reuters. Putin likely to escalate Ukraine war despite Trump peace push. Sources close to the Kremlin say high probability of escalation in the coming months. Putin sees full Donbass control as a central victory. Kiev says intelligence shows Putin preparing new operations, possibly beyond Ukraine. Drone strikes on refineries and ports have triggered severe Russian fuel shortages. So yeah, in the last couple of days, Ukraine has launched numerous attacks against installations very deep inside Russia, including civilian places, including, you know, previously untargeted oil production plants. So any talk about peace is kind of ridiculous. They are doing severe damage to Russia right now. And I'm honestly kind of surprised. I never expected the tide to turn back in Ukraine's favor, but seems like it's going to be a temporary reversal and that Russia is looking to finally maybe take the gloves off. You know, they just started bombing Kiev, I believe, for the first time in this entire conflict. They've resisted going all out for a long time, in large part due to the historical reverence that the Russian people pay to the city of Kiev, which really was the birthplace of their entire ethnicity. So we'll see. So it seems like they are pushing, you know, Putin to the limit. And you got to wonder how this ties in with what's going on in Iran. As a final note for the EU, Mohammed is the most popular boy's name in England for the third straight year. So, yeah, they're taking over. Mohammed has consolidated its place as the most popular name for boys in England and Wales, topping the list for a third year in a row. Interestingly, the number one girl's name is Olivia. So I don't know if that's because they're aborting the girls or why there's so many more boys Muslims being born. Olivia remained the most popular girl's name, followed by Lily, Amelia, Isla, and Florence. But one of the other twists to this is there are a lot of different spellings to the name Muhammad. So there's always a question of whether they're counting every variation of Muhammad together and saying it's the most popular boy's name, or if like Muhammad with a U is the most popular and then Muhammad with an O is the second most popular, because for a long time Muhammad was the most popular name, but because it had three or four versions of it, then it never made it to the top of the list. But if you added them all together, it's been the most popular name for a very long time. Which I'm against, which I would like to see Europe preserved for the love of God. But, you know, all of this, whether it's the flock cameras, the censorship, the surveillance. This little example here should let you know the danger that we are facing. Effective, this is from Sean Hendricks at The Sean Hendricks. And he says, effective immediately, a stay-at-home order is in place, signed by executive order of the president. Any travel will be illegal for the next 15 days. Our partner, Flock Safety, will help us keep people safe by automatically reporting any violations to local law enforcement. Parentheses, this is what the future looks like under big data and Flock. Stop Flock. Like, do people not realize what they'll be able to do when they cover the entire continental United States in flock cameras? I mean, really think about that. This is exactly the type of thing they'd be able to do. The lockdown wouldn't be a suggestion next time. And as much as, you know, we saw police, you know, dragging people off the beach and stuff, at least in Austin and, you know, anywhere I went, nobody bothered you for breaking lockdown. You'd just be the only person on the road most of the time. But there wasn't actually any enforcement. It was all societal enforcement. It was all jobs and corporations shutting down and telling their people to work from home. There wasn't actual force behind it. Once the flock cameras go up, they could do this. They could say you're locked down and anybody leaving their house will be arrested, will be targeted. I mean, they can have drones following you around, especially if they do a big lockdown order. I mean, you think about how useful flock cameras are to the bad guys right now. What if they do a lockdown order? It takes everybody off the street. So suddenly flock cameras aren't just like tracking one person using AI. You're the only one on the street. If you try to leave, you're the only one on the street. They can track you like a wounded rabbit. I mean, it's being built. The system is being built. The data centers are going up to manage the incredible amounts of data that will be used to essentially create a parallel 3D reconstructed version of our world in their simulation. They'll be able to manipulate it at will, test, A/B test certain interventions. How will people react if we do another COVID virus? If we lock people down in their homes and use Flock, how mad will they be? And will they rise up against us if we do that? They're building it. They're doing the panopticon. They're putting it in place. I almost feel as though if like we're actually going to treat this with the seriousness it deserves, we're playing catch up. We've got the wrong strategy here. You can't, you know, tear down flock cameras as fast as they can put them up. And you can't be going to your city council after they've signed the contract and trying to undo it once the cameras are there, they're built there. Like, we have to oppose this holistically. And we have to do that by appealing to our foundational, fundamental values, privacy and freedom of speech. You know, these beautiful things are written in the Bill of Rights that we conservatives have held up and championed forever. Maybe it's time we all get on board with this before we die. Can we do that?
Introducing AquaPure, the ultimate water filter showerhead. Ladies and gentlemen, on your screen are the major third-party scientific tests. This is the very best top-of-the-line water filtration system for your showerhead. It just takes seconds to be screwed on to any system, no plumbers. You owe it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children to cut out the gender-bending chemicals that are in all the major tap water supplies. Most well water is contaminated as well. You can't just filter the water you drink. One of the biggest places you can pull the studies up that we absorb poisons is through our skin and through our lungs. The amount of chlorine in major water supplies is insane. You know, if you put fish in tap water, even if you aerate it, even if you feed them, they die within hours. That's because it's toxic. That's because it's poison. Chlorine alone kills bacteria. Great, you don't get dysentery, but it destroys your gut flora, and it's directly linked to cancer. Then you've got the fluoride, you've got the lead, you've got the arsenic. This system reduces it all 95 to 95%. Now, we've got gravity-fed filters that cut it all out, but those are drip, drip, drip. This system is the very best on the market and reduces it from 95 to 99%, depending on the hundreds of chemicals that are out there in the studies that have been done. And that is the top of the line because it's forcing it through fast. It's got really good pressure, and you are reducing it down 95 to 99%. That is the best you are going to get if you live in one of these cities with the deadly tap water. And so many areas like Los Angeles are toilet to tap. They recycle the birth control and the Adderall and all the thousands of pharmaceuticals and the feces and the tampons and the microplastics all go back in, go through all these complex systems. They fill with all this chlorine, and then they ship it back out down your water pipes. And not to mention what's in the pipes and all the buildup. And then when sewage runs off, it gets into the water supply. You are insane if you're drinking tap water. And you can look up the studies for yourself. Almost all well water and aquifers in the United States are heavily contaminated with thousands of different chemicals like lead and mercury and arsenic and fluoride and other forever chemicals. So again, I can tell you forever in my home, we have these systems, and it does hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of showers before it's got to be replaced. The head's not replaced. We have the replacement filters for $30. For this quality, nobody can beat it, and it funds our operation against the globalist. This is very, very competitive at the normal retail. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139, but for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So anybody buying anything at thealexjonesstore.com, whether it's t-shirts, high-quality supplements, water filters, you name it, should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. Instantly get $40 to spend, special deals, special offers, and special sales on top of sales on everything. Cancel any time, so it's not even a commitment. You just get the better deals. We get to remind you of those, and we've got a lot of really satisfied customers. Over 90%+ reorder rate on our supplements, and it's starting to happen with our water filters as well because we've got the best deals, and it funds our information warfare operation. This is the best. You owe it to yourself. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com, and I want to thank you for supporting the transmission while at the same time making yourself healthier, wealthier, and wise. God bless you all. Now take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm monitoring the chat here. I'm seeing a lot of comments, patron independence. Thank you for everybody who's sharing the link. Of course, you can follow me at Harrison H. Smith. Thanks to X Axios. Join the club, repost the stream. Thank you very much for sharing the link and commenting. Any questions you have or anything? I see Patriot Independence saying the county next to me signed a contract with Flock, and within a month of them going up, they came down because the people fought and raised hell at the county office and the board members terminated it. The people presented a Fourth Amendment violation lawsuit against the county and they took them down. You need to tell Alex that all these other things surveil you, but Flock is direct enforcement measure. Yeah, it's a good point. So, you know, when I say that, you know, there's no like undoing it, I'm surprised if they actually took them down. That's not usually what happens. Usually they'll just cancel the contract and then leave them up because the city would have to pay to take them down, and it'd rather just not pay and just not continue the contract. But regardless, like, they're just going to keep insinuating it in. Like, what I'm saying is it's not enough to be constantly playing whack-a-mole with all of these various methods of surveillance. We have to just stick with the Fourth Amendment. Again, once again, we're at this crossroads where the solution to all of our problems is merely the enforcement of existing law, like the Fourth Amendment, like the Fifth Amendment. You are not allowed to be spied on without probable cause. Just because you're doing it through a camera doesn't mean your God-given rights no longer apply. Obviously, but we're playing catch-up. We're constantly playing catch-up. They're taking the initiative. They're installing these things. They're pushing the surveillance, and we are constantly playing whack-a-mole, trying to defeat them back. At a certain point, we need to... This is what I always talk about, where you have, like, a charge of, like, attempted tyranny. We need something like that, because just like the flock cameras, just like everything else, they'll try to get it done, and yeah, maybe the people push back and go to their county and raise hell, and it gets taken down, but are you going to do it again in 6 months? Are you going to do it again in 3 months? Are you going to do it again 3 months after that and again 3 months after? Are you going to spend the rest of your life every 3 months going and trying to convince your city council to not do the thing they obviously want to do? Or are they just going to wait you out, keep pushing it, keep pushing it, keep pushing it? Eventually it'll go through. They'll tire you out. They'll wear you out, or they'll get you with something else while you're distracted with the flock cameras. This is what I mean. We're fighting a losing game here with a losing strategy as we try to individually fight back each one of these obviously coordinated attempts, obviously unified method, unified effort to surveil and, by surveilling, enslave the entire planet. And I think maybe now is a good time to go to the video. I think now is a good time to go to the video. It's a little bit of a longer one, but I think everybody will appreciate it. In a lot of ways, it is just Conspiracy 101, but we've lost this type of conversation, and we'll play it, and I'll comment on the other side. And I think the video is pretty self-explanatory. It's a video from the Moonbase Live broadcast I did with my co-host Lebanon John yesterday, talking about showing a conversation I had with the AI Claude trying to create a game, and it basically reverse engineers the globalist plot to enslave the planet. And as much as a lot of people watching this will probably be aware of and know the strategies and the methods that Claude talks about, I feel like this is a great sort of conspiracy 101 rundown. And it's also the thing that's actually happening underneath the surface, as we are constantly being distracted by false dichotomies, and you're either with Israel or you're with the Muslims or you're with the whatever and whatever. What we have to understand is that at the end of the day, it's all charades. It's all distractions to the main thing happening, which is the slow but sure destruction of freedom worldwide. So I posted this on X with the title, "I tried to build a mobile game using Claude and accidentally reverse engineered the globalist plot to enslave the world." Let's go now to clip number 9. Okay, so this is my chat with myself and Claude, and we together are creating a game. I ask, can you help me build a mobile game from the ground up? So here's my idea. It'll be like SimCity, but in reverse. You're given a fully functioning city and you have to destroy it without getting caught. This isn't about a mayor struggling to do crime while in office. This is about the elite of society wielding immense power against an unwitting but dangerous populace. The plot can be summed up like this: enslave the city without anybody realizing it. Now, Claude, like, starts adding stuff to it.
Oh,
in a way.
Consent. That's what it is. It's manufactured consent.
So Claude responds, this is actually more coherent than what we had before, because now there's a single clear philosophical engine driving everything: manufactured consent. That's a real and well-documented theory of power, and it makes for a much more interesting game than corrupt mayor skims the budget. He says, on happiness as a meter, you're absolutely right. That's the wrong frame. Happiness is morally neutral as a tool of control. A perfectly enslaved population can be perfectly happy. The real access isn't happy versus unhappy. It's conscious versus unconscious.
Whoa.
Do the people understand what's being done to them? That's the danger.
Dude, Alex Spence would love that.
Right? A happy, stupid, distracted populace is your ideal end state. An unhappy, aware populace is what kills you. So the meter you actually want is something like awareness. Noticing, one might say, and your job is to keep it low by any means necessary: bread and circus, propaganda, false flags, manufactured enemies. On the repression happiness balance, it's great. And see, but like that, this part through, Claude is breaking out of the matrix all of a sudden.
Oh, that's that. And you definitely need to work in the phrase and the concept of noticing.
Right. the lose condition isn't unpopularity. It's the moment of repression fails to contain awareness, and awareness converts into uprising. One line clearly defined, the people rise up. Perfect. It should feel like a dam breaking, not a slow meter drain. The game should always feel stable right up until it suddenly isn't.
That's amazing. And then the win condition here is genius. It's about permanence.
Yes.
The win condition is when the system perpetuates itself without you having to maintain it. The people enforce their own enslavement. Ooh, that's fire. The institutions are corrupted so thoroughly that even a good mayor couldn't fix it. So that's the revolution from which no further revolutions are possible. That is the prison planet. And so that should basically look like people living in Gaza under permanent surveillance state, automated turrets over their heads, digital ID. And then like a mixture of that plus Wall-E, the movie Wall-E, where they're just like consuming goyslop and just like distracted from the fact that they're in prison and just happy about it.
The win condition is when the system perpetuates itself without you having to maintain it. Something like you've won when the city is structurally incapable of producing a legitimate uprising. That is a chilling, elegant win state. This is it. So, folks, we are literally by chatting with Claude about wanting to do this game. Claude is like reverse engineering the globalist plot to enslave the world. It's beautiful. On conspiracy mechanics and false flags, these fit perfectly and aren't complicated to implement as systems. A false flag is just a player-triggered event that costs resources, temporarily raises awareness risk, but if executed well, redirects that awareness towards a manufactured enemy instead of you.
My God, this is so good. What the f***, Claude? This is so good.
Right?
Oh, that's super impressive.
Here's what I think of the core of the redesigned game actually is. The city has one dangerous resource the player must manage, the potential for organized resistance. Like, dude, this sentence alone. The city has one dangerous resource the player, quote unquote, must manage, the potential for organized resistance. Everything else, media, police, economics, propaganda, false flags, is just a different tool for keeping that potential from converting into action.
Holy cow.
The player isn't building wealth or avoiding scandal. The player is a gardener, carefully pruning any conditions under which people might wake up.
Holy.
Ooh, so I think, yeah, there I was just like, whoa, this is tight. I'm going to see what else he'll say.
Yeah, exactly. It's been so sharp. Let's see what else it'll say.
Forget the three goals for it. So I asked him what the man behind the curtain really wants. If you're the hidden elite, the population is essentially a resource, like any resource, like cattle almost. Like any resource, what matters is output. Are they producing, working, consuming, paying taxes, generating wealth that flows upwards? A prosperous working class is more valuable than a destitute one, up to a point.
What the?
Up to a point. You want them productive, but not wealthy enough to have options.
Holy shit, dude. That's America 2026 right there.
Compliance. Are they obedient? Not happy necessarily, just... not resisting. Dude, I love it. Like, this is amazing. Are they obedient?
I hate how real this is, though. This is pissing me off, bro.
This is where repression, propaganda, and distraction live. You don't need them to love you. You need them not to organize.
Oh, my gosh.
Dependency. This might be the most important and overlooked one. Can they survive without you? If they can, they're dangerous. If they can't, if they need your jobs, your media, your food supply, your healthcare, then even an aware population has nowhere to go. Dependency is the deepest form of control. I see Fall of Civilization says this is all conspiracy 101. It is, but it's like a very good distillation of it. Like, it's a good explanation of it for people that are unaware of this. And I feel like this is the thing that we actually have to be like pushing right now, because everything gets like forced into a false dichotomy and nobody like gets to the heart of like why things actually are the way they are. Y'all, this, what Claude is laying out is like verbatim exactly what is actually going on. At the very top, like, this is what it's about. Everything is derivative of this. So I'd argue the real three axes aren't power, denigration, love. They're output, compliance, and dependency. And crucially, they're in genuine tension. Maximizing output means a healthier, more educated, more networked population, which raises the risk that they become non-compliant. Maximizing dependency means keeping people poor and weak, which reduces output. You can't fully optimize all three ever. That's your game. So that's good. Compliance, output, and dependency. Happiness in this frame becomes a dial you adjust strategically, not a goal. High happiness plus low awareness is the ideal. Low happiness and high dependency is acceptable. High happiness and high awareness is dangerous if they have energy and clarity. Low happiness plus low dependency equals revolution. All right, so false flags are one tool in a much larger toolkit. Let's examine the toolkit, shall we? Narrative control. You don't change reality. You change what people believe about it. False flags, state media, manufactured heroes, rewritten history, memory holding, inconvenient events. So narrative control. The second one is institutional capture. You put your people in every position of independent power. Judges, university heads, journalists, religious leaders, police chiefs, not to do evil things necessarily, just to ensure no institution can ever become a source of organized resistance. Engineered dependency, deliberately destroying the conditions for self-sufficiency. Kill local economies so people need corporate jobs. Destroy community institutions so people are autonomized and isolated. Make housing affordable.
Bro, what did you just say?
Destroy community institutions so people are atomized and isolated.
The previous one, bro, that's so bad. Like, this is our life.
Deliberately destroying the conditions for self-sufficiency. Kill local economies so people need corporate jobs.
90% of America at this point is all the jobs in your town are massive, are owned by like one of the five major corporations.
It's literally like a fundamental, complete, holistic change of human life. It's insane. Narrative control, institutional capture, engineered dependency, controlled opposition, rich one for gameplay. You fund a fake resistance movement. You allow a harmless protest to exist as a pressure valve. You create a political enemy you can reliably defeat, giving people the illusion of democracy. Crisis manufacturing, not just false flags, but any deliberately engineered crisis that justifies expanding your power. Economic crash, crime wave, public health scare, foreign threat. Each one lets you say we need emergency powers and the people agree because they're scared. Again, this actually is like conspiracy theory 101. But it applies to absolutely everything. Here's the problem with crisis manufacturing from a receiving point of view is when they start a crime wave, the crime wave is real. When they like crash the economy, that economic crash is real. So it's like you actually do have to deal with it. You just can't give them what they want. So it's like you have to almost identify the threat before it happens because the biggest advantage that the powers that be have is that they're the initiators. They always have the advantage because they always have the initiative. They always go first. So they start the thing. They initiate the economic crash. They create COVID in a lab and then release it on purpose. And then you have to deal with it. You're trying to figure out how to deal with it. They're offering you a ready-made solution because they already knew what it was. So you almost have to like guess what they're going to do and then come up with the actual solution for it and then impose that and punish the people that created the situation in the first place, but that never happens.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they're preemptively trying to stop us from doing that. It's illegal to gather rainwater, right? It's illegal to like create your, have your own food. Bill Gates and these guys, they're spraying metal oxides in all the soil so that only Bill Gates GMO seeds can grow. So they are preempting us.
They're so crazy, dude.
And you know, hey, leftists, you give a f- about that or what? I mean, you know,
we're fighting climate change, John. The climate is changing and we have to spray things into the atmosphere to to fix the sun.
Yeah, exactly. To fix the sun.
Divide and conquer. Keep the population fighting against along racial, religious, class, or political lines. A population that hates itself can't organize against you. You don't create divisions. You cultivate them. That's nice. That's a good way to put it. Spectacle and distraction, bread and circuses, sports leagues, celebrity culture, endless entertainment, moral panics about trivial things. Keep the emotional bandwidth of the population consumed by things don't matter. Things that don't matter.
That's genius. This game needs to get made now. You've put it out into the, milieu. You're going to have to manifest it, man. You're going to have to spend all day on Claude now.
I know, dude. So somebody wanted do it for me?
No, you got to do it, bro. Nobody can do it but you, man.
Well, this is the very basic setup where nothing actually happens. But I think it'd be good. Would everybody buy this? Would everybody go to your local app store? I think we got to make the game. I mean, what should we call it? It could be called Cattle Town.
Oh, that's really good.
Cattle Town.
Wait. Something with Goy Slop could be good too. But yeah, Cattle Town.
Slop City.
Slop. Oh. Dude, it has to be called Slop City.
Slop City, the noticing.
Okay, I'm really into this. Checkmate.
Atheist. Slop City. I'm writing that one down. Slop City. All right, folks. So that's going to be our new game. Now, what I actually did, you know, I go into Claude and I'm like, all right, if I'm actually going to make this game, like, give me a working schedule. How long? What do I need to achieve before this is actually on the App Store in Steam? What I need to do? And it gives me like 6 months worth of part time work. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make a video about it instead. You know what? I'm just going to tell everybody the idea instead of actually doing it, because that's too much work. But now I publish the video and everybody's like, no, you got to actually make the game. So I'm going to open up the phone lines in the third hours for your calls about lots of topics. But if you happen to want to make a game with slash for us, then, you know, maybe it actually needs to be a game. Maybe we need to actually make this. I just thought the way Claude so accurately broke down what one would need to do to try to enslave a population, it was just beautiful. It was just absolutely beautiful. And I loved Matt Baker was like super into this. He saw the video this morning. You can find it and share it on my X account at Harrison H. Smith. It's also on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and search Moonbase Live, you can find it there. I'm trying to get more views on YouTube so I can actually monetize it there. And of course, Moonbase Live, we're going to start trying to stream every Wednesday. So I hope you join us there. But Matt Baker was super excited about this. And he was like, I have a good name for your game. It can be called San Diego. The game can be called San Diego. And he was like, dude, I've got so many ideas from what San Diego does. He's like, I've watched as this exact same thing happens, as a beautiful, thriving city has been systematically destroyed. And, you know, there are some things you don't expect. You know, he's explaining that, like, they shut down half the bathrooms on the beach. And so the homeless people who usually use the bathrooms on the beach are instead using the beach. And so the tourism is going down because nobody wants to go on a beach that has poop on it. So the income is collapsing. So they're having to, and it's like, who would have thought shutting down a few, you know, beach bathrooms would have this cascading negative effect? So that's the type of stuff. It'd have to be a pretty sophisticated game. You'd have to really, you know, figure it out. And again, if you put yourself in this mindset, the other thing Matt Baker said that I thought was funny, he was like, maybe I'm just excited about this because it's not blackpilling. This actually sounds fun. This is like a way to engage with the conspiracy, with the plot of world domination without being blackpilled, without feeling overwhelmed about it. Make it a game, you know, invert it. What if you're the bad guy now? How would you do it? And when you start thinking about methods that you could use to destroy a functioning city without getting caught, you realize why things are the way they are and why there's no set path that they're having to take. For example, you could want to program the game to where you have a, you know, maybe religion is always like a barrier to your control. And so part of it is taking down the religion. But if you actually wanted to reflect reality, then religion would just be a neutral institution in your city and you would have options. You could try to take over the religion. You could try to get the religion. You could try to have your whole city operating in a cult. So you want to push the religion, whatever it is. And so you build up the religion and you force people to adhere to it and you give them institutional power. That would be an effective way of taking control of a faithful populace. Or on the other hand, if you're instead of using religion to control your population, you want to make them destitute and degenerate and, you know, enslaved by their sin, then you would want to oppose the church. And maybe you'd have to be, you know, carrying out black magic behind the scenes to, you know, weaken the faith of your community. Like, there are lots of different options, which is why when you look at the world around you, it's not cut and dry. You can't sit there and go Catholics bad, Protestants good, Muslims bad, Jewish good, Sunnis bad, Shiite good. From the point of view of the masters, of the powers that be, they don't give a damn. They don't care. It's whatever's useful. If they can use the church to get their way, then they use it. If the church is a barrier to their desires, then they destroy it. They don't care. They don't care. That was another clip out of the Moonbase Live where John and I were talking about just a few examples of how little they care about all of this. John's example is like, you know, they have Zelensky, a Jewish person, running a Nazi terror group, right? They don't care. My response was they replaced a Western educated eye doctor, moderate Alawite, with a literal head chopping ISIS terrorist and then said the terrorism is over. They don't care about any of this stuff. They care about control. They care about manipulation. Everything else is decoration. accoutrement. It's not the fundamental. And then, of course, the idea of this type of content, like I said, and like you saw in the video, it was like, well, this is conspiracy theory 101 stuff. It's like, maybe it was. It was when I started getting into conspiracy theories. Now, something John said during the things, he was like, you know, during the Obama years, this is what we talked about. This is what we talked about all the time. We talked about the methods of control. We talked about what was good for humanity versus what was bad for it. The introduction of Donald Trump to the political sphere, not necessarily his fault, but the effect of it has been that it has distracted us from all this stuff. And everything has become, are you for Trump or against Trump? Are you, do you like what Trump's doing or you don't like what Trump's doing? And we just sort of stop talking about the fundamentals. And I think that's a big problem because you have a lot of people who resisted waking up during COVID. They resisted waking up through the first half of Donald Trump's political career, but they got red-pilled by, you know, gruesome videos of Palestinian babies being shredded. They sort of skipped a major step. For those of us that are long in the tooth, that have a lot of experience in the conspiracy game, you want to lay the groundwork first. You want to understand the fundamentals first so you're not distracted by the horror stories or the, you know, insane events. But I feel like that's what's happened is people have been red-pilled by force. They've been, cast out of the cave against their will. And they haven't made the connection yet to actually fully, deeply understand in a holistic, in a comprehensive way, what's actually motivating the people at the top. They're still stuck in this false dichotomy mindset of like, it's white supremacy versus the colonized, it's Jews versus Muslims. It's like, no, the people operating our world are so far beyond these divisions. They don't give a damn about those. They use them when useful. But a lot of people have skipped that fundamental building up of the foundation of understanding this stuff, which is why you get people making the wrong decision and changing their minds all the time. And, well, I thought it was this, and actually, you know, now I think it's this thing. It's like if you don't do the groundwork early on and really set your foundation in stone and understand, like, this is what is really happening, the takeover, cross-class, cross-race, cross-nations, yet using those things, this is what the bad guys are really doing. This is the enslavement that they're pursuing, a permanent situation in which revolution is impossible, and they're rapidly building up the infrastructure to achieve that. The question is, how do you make them lose the game? They're playing this game. They're winning. How do we, as the NPCs rise up and cause them to lose? That's the ultimate question. We'll be back for the third hour and your calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look. Vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc. I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.